Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us this evening. We're going to start this evening's show with a little bit sounds of a new CD calling The Bliss of Being by the Pure Heart Ensemble. So please do sit for a moment and just be present. This evening's show is going to be all about the power of sound, power of voice, listening, hearing, but also being in silence and knowing your own inner wisdom. And I think that this is really important that we begin this evening with a CD called The Bliss of Being by the Pure Heart Ensemble, which my guest today, Diella Ciesco, and she is the singer on this CD. So I think it's so important that we sometimes have music that will just calm us to our inner space because there's so much noise around us. It's not about big boomboxing. It's not about having big noise around us. It's just about being present and not something that would command an action from inside of us. This just tends to bring us what I call just that space, that abyss. As we've said before in many shows, we're in the abyss where creation is welcome. So please do listen for another few moments, and then we'll get the show started. So thank you, everyone, for being with us this evening and having patience to just sit for a moment and listen to the sounds of music. And it is very important that we do sit and stop, because right now, as the world, as we would call it, is awakening or changing, or there's a lot of chaos and confusion, really, that's all about frequency or energy. Did you ever put your hands on the front of a speaker? And you could feel it when you turn it up with the bass and it's vibrating and your body is vibrating and you're singing louder and people are shouting and then people start moving faster. It's all about that vibrational energy. And how long can you actually go at it with that vibrational energy? So what we like to say is you need a vibrational energy to heal, to be quiet, to bring everything into focus in your being. And how do you find that? So tonight, my guest is Diella Ciesco, and she's going to be talking about The Magical Walk with the Goddess of Sound. Her book is called The Unknown Mother, and it's a really great book about her progress from beginning to where she is now, to even be able to understand what is sound, why is it important, what do I need to know about it, and how she came about to realizing that this is so very, very important. And, you know, not many people can say they know what an actual sound is. They know that they've heard yelling or screaming. We've grown up. We've heard people tell us what to do, tell us not to do, and how that's important, too, in voice and sound. She's also the creator of transformational voice work, and it means using the voice, breath, and movement for deep healing. And it's stemming from her background in shamanism, sound healing, and vocal toning. So she will be talking about that today also. So I'd like to welcome Diella to the show. Diella, thank you for being with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And that was a whole mouthful, wasn't it? So can you tell us a little bit about how you got started, about what means sound or voice to you, and I mean, your book starts right at the beginning, why it was, you know, where you came in your life and you needed to have a change. Can you start there?
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's partly autobiographical, but it's also written as fiction for a reason. And it is my story and it is my path. And yet it's like the main character, the mentor character, Matrina, who is the goddess of sound. She's actually an amalgam of many of my teachers, you know, as I walk my path. So the book starts with Ren, the main character, who is, you know, kind of at a dark night of the soul. Nothing's really going right for her, and she's questioning everything about her life. And it's when she surrenders to the fact that she just doesn't know that Matrina, this mentor, enters her life and starts to teach her about the power of sound, the power of the voice to heal. And that's very much been the truth of my experience, is that our voice is a very accessible healing tool that doesn't have any side effects and that can have profound impact on all the dimensional levels of the body, from the physical to the mental to the spiritual.
You know, I think it's really important to focus right there where you started, when you just didn't have the answers and it was time to stop. I know so many people right now are having so much chaos and confusion. They're, well, I wish I could go back. Well, that's not the way things were. Nobody is listening to me. Why am I not speaking correctly? What's going on? And I think right now, as we've said, you know, with this, the changes in the world is so fast, that I'm finding that some of the words we are now using, awakening, inner peace, meditation, all these different words are now creating and forming sentences. And I think probably within 10 years we'll be then forming paragraphs and then maybe going forward from there. But, you know, you cannot create a new language or a new way of system of being until you actually put the letters and the words together. And I think that's probably where we are now, but it probably was where you were maybe 2 or 3 years ago when you wrote this book, right?
Oh, yeah, and it's been very difficult to find the words to convey. And I guess that's why fiction kind of freed me up in a way. You know, I write about this in the book, the fact that so much of what we're feeling and experiencing and going through, there just are no words for, because it's very new and very, we just don't have the past experience or constructs to support what we're going through. So we tend to label things chaos. We tend to label things as, you know, in the negative, when really what's happening to us is that our energy, our vibration is increasing in frequency. So it's very much a matter of perspective. And if we're not careful, the words that we choose to define our experience can lock us in the negative. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think, too, some people that haven't gotten to the words yet or haven't, what I say, I would always say is hit the wall and turn to dust. Until that really happens, and as you have said, as you give up and you stop and you say, okay, there has to be something else, is when that really comes about. You can't expect to be talking out one side of your mouth and saying, you know, I really don't know what's going on, but, you know, then I'm going to continue along my other way. You can't have a two-sided mouth. You won't get anywhere. So hitting that wall and turning to dust, you know, you've got to create something out of dust. You've got to create something out of that. But, you know, as we've said in past shows, is that a lot of people are checking out. And, you know, that's not exactly the greatest thing to say or believe, but what we're doing, I think, what you and I are both doing, is we're saying to people, it's okay, we can move forward. Listen, help, you know, see another word, try a different way. You know, as I've done, I've got almost 200 shows. What we're doing is we're just saying with all of the guests, take the words, create something differently, say, I'm going to try this today. you know, little things. You know, I'm not going to curse at my husband today. I'm not going to be screaming at my kids today. I'm not going to have my radio blasting till, you know, it vibrates me through to my, you know, that I can't hear my cell phone. You know, different things like that. But these are only teeny tiny changes. But every little teeny tiny change, you know, is what creates you eventually going forward. And I think a lot of people need to know that it's going to be okay, that things will change. It's just sort of like when I say chaos, I always think of, you know, that, you know, that puzzle piece that you get that's 1,000 pieces. I think really we've got 1,000,000 pieces, and it really hasn't formed yet. And with each person putting it together, if each person did not try to solve that puzzle, but if each person tried to put two pieces together, it would be something in the future.
Yeah, I often use the analogy of a puzzle when I talk about vocal toning and how important it is to for people to experience playfulness with the voice and to just allow an expression of the palette that's possible. You know, our voices are capable of so many dimensions in volume, in texture, in pitch. All of those things can be played with. And if one person is holding back from playing with their voice in that way, from feeling like they can authentically express in the world, then that puzzle that we are trying to put together is missing a piece. Everybody's voice is crucial. And even though there have been, you know, for most of us, we've experienced at some point in our lives the message that our voice was not pretty enough or clear enough or we stuttered or, you know, whatever came across and was judged by the outside world as not okay, we made the decision to swallow our expression or to try to control it in some unnatural way. We've got to recover our indigenous voice, I think, in order to create this new, whatever we're trying to create, this new paradigm, this new way of being.
So can we talk a little bit about that? So if people have heard these things all of their life and as they grew up, myself being closer to 60, believe me, the stuff the parents and elders and kids used to say in the 50s and 60s, it's just as much as it is now. You know, I mean, I don't think it's any better, worse, or same. You know, it's just the way that it was. And so a lot of people are saying now, well, my mother used to say this to me or my father used to tell me that or they told me that it had to be this way and I've ran that train as long as I could and now where I'm at, you know? And how do they move forward from that? How have you worked with people to release their voice, to be able to get them to find that, you know, that sense of their own source, you know, voice? How do you do that?
Well, the book introduces 10 gates of sound, and those 10 gates are a means of working with the aspects of the voice, which include the vocal channel, which is it's kind of like an etheric tube that follows along the esophageal tube. It starts in front of the face, moves in through the mouth and the back of the throat, and moves down through the chakra system, and the energies extend into the earth. And also it breaks up into the head and branches out. So this is basically our tube of energy, of receptive energy. We are receiving earth energy and the ability to ground through the earth, divine inspiration through the crown, and then through the mouth we receive concepts and constructs, and we also express concepts and constructs. What happens is, at a young age generally, we start to clamp down on this energetic tube, and the tube, when we're born, it has this natural ability to expand and contract. Well, when what I call the clamp happens. We get that message that we've been talking about, that we can't express ourselves freely. We have to hold back to be accepted, to be safe, that sort of thing. So working with the vocal channel is a way of restoring its natural ability to expand and contract. The way that we do that is through the other gates, and that includes the breath, which is a very important tool, obviously, because without the breath, there is no inspiration. Hazrat Inayat Khan is a Sufi master who wrote the book The Music of Life, and he says that the influence of the breath on the body is like the influence of weather on the world. So if you're feeling stormy inside or unsettled or feeling that chaos or reliving those stories that you've heard that keep you from expressing yourself fully, a really good place to start is with your breath and bringing your awareness to how you're breathing, not necessarily changing it, but just becoming more aware of it. And starting to get experimental, you know, all of the work that I do is really about teaching people to be playful and experimental, building awareness of their subtle body. And so just experimenting with the breath, that's the next gate. Then we have words and letters, which are the next two gates, but they very much intermingle. You know, we don't often think of letters as having mystical properties, but they do. Letters are channels of energy. And if we don't pay any attention to them, okay, no big deal, except that we're not really conscious of the energies that they convey. You know, if we turn to meditation with the letters of the alphabet, we can actually program them. For instance, we can decide for ourselves that the letter A evokes the energy of amen, alleluia, Allah, all those words that have that spiritual meaning. And when we use that letter, no matter what we're saying or if we're writing, we can, just by virtue of having given that letter that property, we are evoking it when we use it.
So can we hold on for a second right there? So a lot of
sure.
times, you know, when people are in learning meditation, they're like, my head is like a railroad tracks, you know? I really feel like I need to hook a tape recorder up to my head because I'll never remember it. But boy, when you meditate, you can remember everything, you know? It just happens to be that way. And I think when you say about giving and using the words with the letters, that's sort of like, you know, when you have little kids and they see the letter A, they always think apple, right? So
mm-hmm.
is that not the same thing or similar?
Well, yes, it is. It is actually, in a way, very similar. The difference is that apple was something that was a construct that was given to the child. The child
mm-hmm.
didn't have any choice in the matter. They didn't have a choice to say the apple was something totally different. So what we're doing is we're taking any energetic signatures that are in the letters, we're taking them back for ourselves, and we're programming them with things that are meaningful to us. With, like B might be beginnings,
mm-hmm.
buoyancy. It's things that resonate with us and that inspire us instead of things that were given to us.
Right. Now, how would that work in the case of, let's say, that I work a bit with people with domestic violence, and they're finding
mm-hmm.
that there's really a lot of words that don't work for them. So that would be good
mm-hmm.
because they could use their own. But then do they also have words that, I'm not sure how they would, in other words, there's words for them that would never work, So really there, you're not putting a word on it. You're letting them choose the words, correct?
Right. I mean, the next gate, which is working with words and redefining them, you know, like you said, there are a lot of words that are charged for a lot of people, not necessarily
right.
the same word. But that's another thing to become aware of. And so if someone is aware that they, let's say they have, well, I'll give you an example. I was teaching a workshop, and I had called everybody, referred to everyone in the group as you guys. And there were a couple of women in the group who took a great offense to that. And, you know, I listened to them, and I totally understood where they were coming from. But I felt like I had to at least try to let them see another perspective, which is that it is just a word, and if they're triggered by it, then that word, they're giving some power to that word when the power is within them to
right.
either be disturbed by it or not. So that's a perfect example of how to work with words.
You know, I think that, too, comes down to the point where I work a lot with people, and the first thing we do is I let them talk, and they go on and on and on and on and on, and I said, okay. And then we get to a point, and, well, how do you work with this, they would ask me, or how do you fix with that? And I said, there are no labels here, and we really work really hard on what I call kicking the labels to the curb. And I think that's probably what I guess, in a similar way, because when they do that, they're letting go of those identities that they held around them, right?
Oh, exactly. And that leads right into the next gate, which is the stories that we tell and learning to retell them. We tend to tell our stories from the viewpoint of victim. You know, this happened to me and I suffered in this way. When we have the option of retelling those stories as the hero, as the person who comes out on top, as the person who was able to find the diamonds in the story, in the experience.
And that's so difficult for so many people because they really are attached to that pain. It's sort of like it serves some purpose for them, but they really haven't identified what that purpose might be. That's number one. But I think also sometimes, too, they feel that if they let go of that, that they may have to give up or lose something that they felt currently creating their life.
Yes,
I mean,
very true.
What are your thoughts on that? Yeah.
Well, I've experienced that. I don't often share this story, but when I was in college, I was date raped. And for the longest time, I told the story from the standpoint of victim. This was before, you know, I'd learned a lot of the tools that I have now. Well, as I was on my healing path, I learned ways to retell that story. And I was in a grocery store one day leaving, and I saw this man on the payphone by the store. I told you how long ago it was, there was a payphone. And when I saw him, it was this... Something happened to me. My initial response was, oh, my gosh, there he is, right? And then something went, you need to be upset. You need to be emotional, angry. And there was another part of me who was like, no, you don't.
Right.
You know, it just wasn't worth it to me anymore. I didn't want to relive that past over and over and over again. I'd already paid for it. I didn't want to keep paying for it for the rest of my life.
Do you think we can let go of the story of it? But I know a lot of people have said this in the past, is that when they think of the story or they're talking about it, and let's say they have tears or they feel their heart opens up, and a lot of people are saying, well, that's because you haven't gotten rid of it. And I really don't find that. I find that that warms your heart and opens it and lets it expand, because then you're in the present.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so many people, I think, have found that they've stuffed tears and stuff, and that's when you get, you know, when you say about the throat thing, I mean, how many women over the age of 40 have hypothyroid? I mean, that's because, you know, or that's just choking up. I'm just shutting down that throat area, you know. Mm-hmm. How many women over 45 are, you know, overweight? How many are have heart disease? How many have all of these health conditions that if they just try to release and open, that may help? And what will it help?
Yeah, that's
it will just be allowing. You know, we talk in Chinese medicine, you know, allow, let it open, let it be, and then deal with whatever is there. But it is so hard for so many people to see that because they just don't want to be that vulnerable and they don't want to open and they think, oh, I'm going to cry forever. Okay, cry forever, you know. So what if you cried for the next 6 months? Have at it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then after 6 months, for the next 6 months, you might only cry two or three times when you have to tell the story. And that's fine, but it's just they just feel that that's such a negative aspect of them, and it's really not.
No,
what do
it's
you
not.
Teach
emotional.
On that? Mm-hmm.
Well, for one thing, the throat center is considered the purification center of the body in yoga. So if you think about it, when we're not allowing energy to flow and expression to flow through the body, we're really creating a toxic environment on all levels, you know, physically, mentally. So using the voice, whether it's through tears, whether it's through primal screaming, whether it's through singing,
right.
it's so important because it's purifying the body. You know, there was a time, I remember this lovely incident I had of hitting my head really hard when I was in my apartment one day. My landlord happened to be in the apartment as well, and when I hit my head, I wanted to scream bloody murder. And because he was there, I didn't. For 3 days, I had the worst headache of my life. And for some reason, I wasn't picking up on the fact that, you know, hello, you need to do your work here. So what I did was I sat myself on the ground, or actually laid down, and I allowed myself to do all the crying and the screaming and that I needed to do at the time. And it was probably more than would have been if I'd just done it in the moment. It's kind of like, you know, if we don't brush our teeth for a week, the teeth are in a lot worse shape than if we just brush them every day.
Right.
We have to keep purifying through the voice, that channel.
And, you know, I find, too, that now there's a huge trend on you can just shift it if you just intend it. It will just shift. And I think that if we have not changed or cleared our terrain, and granted it's nice to be able to, you know, intend, that's where that is. But that intend is, for some people, is not always in that split second. In other words, we haven't quite finessed our technique yet. So, and, you know, some people it can be, but many other people, it's like, okay, I can intend it, but in the meantime, I still have to clear all this out. So to be able to still say that you can still do that is still, I think, highly appropriate, you know, because, you know, I would caution the listeners, we have said this over and over and over again on the show. I have drilled this in at every show. Everything we are saying, take it, listen, and take it for yourself. Be an individual, because you know what? If everybody could wear, everybody has to wear shoes, and if you look at the shoes, no one is wearing the same pair of shoes. We're all that much of an individual. So please just, you know, we're not saying you have to do this, you have to do that. Mm-hmm. That is not at all what we're saying. We're saying these are some ideas of how Diella and I have both done things. This is how we both help other people. This is how some of the things in the past have worked. You may say, I can intend it in 5 seconds. Let me just sit here. Now, I know sometimes, you know, where I want to yell and scream, I've got four kids, you know, it's like, okay, I'm not going to scream. And I intend it. And I said, you know, I'm just not going to do it. not going to get me anywhere. It's not going to change anything. I'm just not going to do it. But I can surely tell you, in the past, if I didn't yell and scream at them, I might have had the most rageous headache because I would be mad at them all night long and went to bed like that. So it's about changing things along a paradigm. It's not about saying, you have to do it this way today, and if you didn't do it this way today, then you're a misfit and it doesn't work. And that's what you and I are not saying, and that's what we want everyone to be sure to listen to.
And that's a huge lesson that Matrina tries to get across to the main character in the book, and something I always stress when I work with clients and facilitate toning groups. You know, just because I am sharing a particular technique or even guiding a particular practice, it's like if your body is saying, I don't want to do that right now, or, well, that doesn't feel quite right to me, or I don't want to sing on this pitch, I want to sing on a different pitch. I want people to honor that. That's part of what I'm teaching, is how to honor yourself and how to be authentic. You know, it's just no good if we're all trying to fit some mold.
Right. So let's take a break for 2 seconds, maybe for about 30, 45 seconds, and we're going to listen to the CD where Diella sings, and it is The Bliss of Being by the Pure Heart Ensemble. The link to purchase the CD is on today's show page. So, Diella, could you tell us a little bit more about this CD? You know, when I listened to it, I grew up around the piano and the organ. I used to play in the church in fourth grade. I would be playing all the Latin masses with the Catholic priest. And, you know, I can always remember, you know, your grandmother's humming to you or just rocking and that sound of rhythmic sounds. And they never even, my grandmother's never sang. Actually, it's only one of my grandmothers that even had a voice. And she used to just hum. And I think that that is what this reminds me of. So you could tell us a little bit more about this?
Sure. This was a project that was started by New Age composer Richard Shulman. He wanted to do something unique that brought in sound healing tools like crystal bowls, and he wanted it to be improvisational. The particular piece you were listening to is composed, but a lot of the other tracks on the CD are actually improvisations, and we didn't know what was going to happen. In fact, we didn't even record all in one place. People were basically brought in one at a time. So we listened to the music and just kind of went with it. What was really magical was that what we found when coming from that really deep meditative place to express, whether it was, you know, the flautist or the person playing cello or myself, that we were able to anticipate what was coming, and we entered into this conversation with the music itself. It created its own being or force. It was just an incredible experience for me, and just something I'd like to do again and again.
And I think the music is really wonderful because it doesn't command something that's familiar otherwise. In other words, sometimes you'll listen to music and then you'll think, I heard that in the 60s, I heard that in the 70s, oh, I know that guy's voice, you know, that kind of idea. So in other words, mm-hmm. this is more of what I would say to the listeners, this is more what I call abyss music. And what I mean about abyss is it means that I've always talked about the abyss on the show and how, you know, I had stepped out of it. And, you know, it's just this place where you are, and then this magic just is there. It's not like this is going to guide and direct you and pull you along, you know. It's just there. And then that'll allow for your own being where you are at that time. And I think that's what it really, you know, I had really thought when I had heard it. And I didn't know if that had resonated with you at all.
It does, definitely. And, for all of us who were involved in the project, it was a healing journey for each of us. And that's part of what the music encapsulates. For instance, for me, with the composed pieces, on the day that I had arranged to do the recording, I was having some issues with my voice. It just was not up to my usual standard. And I was feeling very frustrated and having to push through. I did push through, and I came out the other side and was able to do some improvised pieces after that that really let me free up my voice. So those experiences that I had while recording are actually captured in the music, if that makes sense. So a person who is listening can actually tap in if they resonate with those same issues or same wounds, and can use that as a way to help inspire healing in themselves.
And I think so, too. I think of this music. Do you know when sometimes you'll, like when I would go somewhere with my kids or something, and the kids will say, do you hear that? And I'm like, no, I don't hear it. It's sort of like only those that are on that frequency can hear what that is. And I think it's sometimes the same thing as when you're looking at those pictures, you know, that have the crazy dots all over, and they're saying, can you see the picture? And you're like, no, I can't see the picture. Or can you hear the wind? I would say to a lot of people, can you hear those clouds? And they said, what are you talking about? Or I would say, oh, my goodness, I just heard something pop out there. And you look out and, you know, maybe a flower would be up, or the woodpecker would be out, or the bird just landed on the tree, whatever. And most people are just on that different frequency, that none of that is where they are, you know. And I think that eventually we'll all get there, but I just think that that's where, that shows the variations of where people can be.
We're very much desensitized to sound because we live in such an industrial world where there are, you know, factories pumping out noises and airplanes flying overhead and, you know, air conditioning sounds and refrigerator sounds, electronics, whatever. All of that is impeding our ability to tap into those natural sounds. We have a harder time expanding our sense of sound to pick up on those subtle things because there's just so much input. We're in training constantly to things that don't really serve us.
You know, and there's one, at one point in here you had said something about going through the stories and letting the stories go and to rewrite them. And it was so funny because recently I have a cell phone, a smartphone, and for each of my family members I had a particular song that would play, you know, for their ringtone. Well, one day, my phone, it has no more ringtones on it. I can't even get them back. I don't even know what happened. It just goes buzz for everybody, you know? And I guess that was my little hint, you know, because sometimes we have to listen to these little hints, was stop creating those stories, let them be. And it was like, okay, I don't need to find any more ringtones. Whoever's calling is calling.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, you weren't set up for it. Yeah, because you know how on these cell phones, when you hear the music, you go, oh, my gosh, it's my husband. I really don't want to talk to him, you know. And then you look at the picture and you go, oh, God. And then, you know, you answer the phone and it's like, what do you want? How many people do that? I mean, I will tell you, millions and millions of people do that. You know? And I think it was just the pictures weren't there and the ringtones weren't there. It was like, hello, who's this? You had to be pleasant because you had no clue it was on the other end of the line.
Wow. I never thought about that. That's a really good point.
And how nice and easy that is, you know, to just let that one go. So can you tell us a little bit about toning and a little bit more of the work that you do with the company that you created?
Sure. Well, there are two separate things, really. The vocal toning is one aspect of my work, and then the transformational voice work has aspects of toning in it, but it's slightly different. So vocal toning is really just using the voice and the breath to express a tone on a pitch. And there are variations within that. For instance, one of the really common tones that is known by a lot of people is the tone of om, which is actually a syllable. And you can tone any vowel, so the long or the short sounds of the vowel. And what toning does is, you know, we're vibratory beings. We're primarily made of water. We have porous bones and tissues that are filled with water, and all of those vibrate. So when we use our voice and tone sounds, what we're doing is we're vibrating our whole structure. And there are places within our body where we hold a lot of tension or stress. We hold memory, we hold our stories, we hold our concepts and beliefs. And vibrating, using the voice to vibrate the body, helps to loosen some of the tension and restriction around those areas. It helps to free us up and really make profound shifts in the body. And there's so many different ways to tone and so many techniques and applications, from very playful to very meditative and profound. The thing about it is that it's a form of singing, but it doesn't require anybody to have a particular type of voice. So anybody can do it. You know, you don't have to tone on pitch. You don't have to worry about how you sound, really. So there's no off-key toning. It's just letting the voice out and feeling that resonance in the body and enjoying that sensation of vibration. And, you know, singing has been proven to have so many benefits, from lifting depression to enhancing our immunity. It helps to relieve pain. It can improve a person's ability to sleep at night. It can improve our ability to oxygenate the body because we're using our breath constantly to tone. So lots and lots of benefits for the physical body and to the mental body as well, because when we're focusing on the vibration, it's stimulating both sides of the brain, and there's a much better chance that you're going to be able to just let go of all your thoughts and concepts if you're focusing on the toning.
So to the listeners, this is so funny because when you talked about the toning stuff and the vibrations, we had moved to a different apartment. We have a different kind of tub, and I said, pour in the Epsom salts. I think I had like two containers in there, big ones. And I just said, you know, my back is just really out the wall today. I'm just going to sit here and that's it. And then for some reason, I don't know, I was calling my husband or saying something to the dog. The dog had banging on the door, whatever. And my whole body and the water was vibrating. And so it just got to be such a game. So people, you can think of it as a game. When you were a little kid, you used to do this kind of stuff. You just forgot. Yeah. You know, you just have to slide down into the water. I put my fingers in my ears so the water doesn't go in my ears. And you can feel the vibration in the water and in yourself. It is so profound. And I think that the more Epsom salts I had in there, the better it worked. But anyway, it was kind of interesting. And then you say about singing in the voice. My daughter is in her early 20s, and her and I, since she was really little, we would always have this little thing that we did. We would always, we really lived in hot places like Arizona, Louisiana, Florida, those places. And we would roll up the windows and we'd turn the radio on and we would sing like nobody's business. And she'd say, this is so much fun because we're so tone deaf. You know, I mean, we are the worst. You couldn't hit a note if you wanted to. But it was the most therapeutic thing, and we would do this all the time. And there's so many times that she would post on Facebook or her friends and they would say to the most tone-deaf, happy person that sings on the road, you know? And that's how just we would let those things go. So, you know, in the future, you know, when things would happen, we would go into the car, turn on the radio, close the windows and say, it's going to all go away. And it does. And that people can let that go. But then that also opens you up. You know, you might hear a song that makes you cry. You might hear a song that reminds you of something, but it releases that and opens it. It's almost like a click, you know. We like to think of it like as a door, you know, opening and closing. It just will open that and be able to let it move. And people, you know, when they pass away, they have a song associated with them, and people, every time they hear the song, they would get so upset. But I really think they needed to follow that through a little bit farther. Play that song 10,000 times, you know, and then okay, now I'm done with the grief. Now we can go on the upside. And every time I hear that song, you know, it'll be good. It's a good feeling, you know, and that's rewriting your story, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so often we're so afraid of feeling whatever it is we've been avoiding feeling, and we pull away when the exact opposite is what's called for. You know, we have to follow through. We have to walk through the fire to get to the other side. And I think it's important for people to know that there is another side. I know, you know, years ago when I was in it and didn't want to feel it, it meant everything to me to see other people having been through it say, you know, there's gold on the other side. You are not going to regret walking through this. You can do it. It's so important to your ability to be happy and to feel free.
And I think we would really like to stress here, too, that everybody is an individual. While what we are both saying, you know, take it, listen to it, you know, find your own little pieces and then build on it for yourself and create your story. Because, you know, we always talk about gurus, you know, follow my way because you have to follow in my footsteps. And it's like, I don't think so. You know, nobody is a perfectionist. Nobody has the answers. If everybody had the answers, if one person had the answers, the whole world would be in sync already. If one were, you know, everybody knew the regular diet, everybody would be healthy. If everybody knew how, you know, to be able to fix cars, there would be no broken cars. You know, it's kind of like if you really thought about it, if all the answers were already there, you know, and these people held the keys to those answers, then we wouldn't be having the problems. So really, it's not really a problem. It's a passage. It's just we're just meandering through experiencing. And if you could just say that, it's an experience. Okay, great. You know, let's go through. Let's see what this has and what it's going to tell me and where I can go from there and how it fits in or doesn't fit in my life, right?
Mm-hmm. If we weren't all here to experience something unique, then there wouldn't be so many of us unique people.
You know, and to be cautious, you know, that, you know, it's great to say, you know, okay, I got it, and think that that's just the answer. That may just be the one piece that fits to the other piece in your 500 million piece puzzle. And then don't be disappointed. We're saying keep going. Pick up the next thing. Pick up, you know, listen to another show. Pick up another book. Pick up another CD, you know. Go back to some of the things you did. Do something different. there is zillions of things in the world, and it's just don't cast yourself in cement, you know, and think that that is where you are and that's it. You know, it's just so much more than that.
It is, and even, you know, for people who are on the spiritual path, I know I've fallen prey to, just recently, fallen prey to just being really set in my my concept of how to learn and grow. And
yeah,
there's just so much going on for me that I've had to break out of that and look for new things and follow new paths and really let go. Let go of everything that I thought was the answer for me. And it was for a while, but it's not anymore. So I'm having to continue to expand and grow, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's just being open because just to let, you know, stand in the abyss and say, I mean, I learned about the abyss myself. That's what I created because after we experienced Hurricane Katrina and I had so many issues with the medical boards and I had so many issues with living in this state and blah, 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 it just got to the point where I'm done. I'm done. You know, I can remember laying on the bed, you know, and Hurricane Katrina's going over my head, and I said, I'm done. And I know I had a choice at that moment to stay or go. And I chose to stay. And then it was like, okay, we are really in the swamps. We are really in this spot. Now, what are we going to create out of that? And it took a long time. So for some people, it may take, you know, days, weeks, months. For some people, it may take years and decades. And don't feel that you're going to get to a precipice and then you're going to say, okay, I'm done. I'm good. Now the rest of my life is smooth sailing. That's not at all what it will be. And I know so many people get stuck in that. Well, you didn't reach this point. You didn't do this thing. And why aren't you here? And this is where you're supposed to be. And that's where you're expected to be. And then when you get there, it's like, what the heck? What is this? You know, you're almost looking around and saying, I don't even recognize this. This is your story of what you wanted to put me into, not where I wanted to be. And so many people are having those issues now where other people may have wanted them to be, and they kind of like drag them along unwillingly. And now it's where am I that's so important.
Yeah, and that's to talk a little bit about the transformational voice work that I do, because that kind of connects with this. But, you know, we have all these ideas and these concepts, and somehow we have to give ourselves times where we can break free of that. And I find that the transformational voice work processes help us do that. It's using breath, it's using movement, and it's using the voice to just go into a somewhat altered state of just releasing sound after sound after sound. You don't have to know why you're releasing it. You don't have to know what it is that you're releasing. You just have to be willing and open to release it. And you know, time and time again, I have people come out of these experiences feeling utterly transformed. We don't necessarily have to, we don't have to process ourselves to death, if that makes sense, and,
right.
And circle and eddy in our own stories perpetually for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. We're not stuck in cement.
No.
You know? And just being able to be a little more fluid and a little more, okay, that sounds cool, let me see, you know, or that sounds really crazy, I'm out of here, you know, and to be able to make those decisions. I mean, a lot of people need to make those decisions. Do you know how many people cannot say, you know, this is nuts, I'm out of here, and they can't. They'll just say, it must be here for a reason. Oh, please.
Yeah, and it's totally okay. You know, everything is not for everybody.
Right. And that's so different, you know, to be able to experience that. Well, you know, we flew through this whole hour. I want to play a little bit more with the music. And if you could tell us how to reach you and your websites and where people will be able to find out about the book and the CD, that would be great.
Sure. The book is The Unknown Mother, A Magical Walk with the Goddess of Sound, and it's available on Amazon and most other book retailers online. And my website is dlfiesco.com. That's D-I-E-L-L-E, and the last name is C-I-E-S-C-O.com, and they can reach me there. I also have a site called toningforpeace.com, which has a lot of various toning exercises available for people to try. And I have on my website as well, I have a free MP3 library of vocal toning practices. Did I answer all those questions?
Yes. Well, I really think it's important. And you do sing on the CD.
Yes. And that is the Bliss of Being by the Pure Heart Ensemble. And that is available on CD Baby and other retailers as well. And I actually have another book coming out in July, so I'd like to just share that. It's called Your True Voice. And it's the nonfiction version of The Unknown Mother, so it has a lot of practices and exercises and journal activities in it.
Wow, that sounds wonderful. I guess you'll just have to come back then, won't you? It'll be great to have you on again. So thank you much for being with us today. As we go out with the show, I'm going to play about 2 to 3 minutes of this. So to the listeners, if you'd like to just stay on the line, you'll be able to hear more of this wonderful song, The Bliss of Healing. So thank you so much for being with us today, DL.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And I'll just turn up the music and let the show fade out. Thank you for being with us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and have a pleasant evening.